Wow. And thank you for hosting this and inviting the three of us here tonight, and thank you all for showing up. I think one thing I'd like to start with is by, and I think you've already recognized Senator Forrester for this, but I honestly think that if she hadn't taken up the mantle on House Bill 648 in the New Hampshire State Senate, we wouldn't be sitting here today where we are today. So it was a huge... I don't think we can overstate the importance of that one bill. This map is a rendition of the existing HVDC line that comes through the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont. Many of you have seen this before. This is a Hydro-Quebec line that brings, it's capable of bringing 2,000 megawatts of electricity to southern New England from Quebec. And I think this map, we did this a couple of years ago, and here's the Northern Pass route here. And, you know, the first question this begs is if there's already an existing right-of-way with electricity coming down, what would it take to modify that existing right-of-way to carry the additional electricity that Hydro-Quebec would like to bring to southern New England? And I think the short answer is that this line is owned by a competitor of Northeast Utilities. I think that's the reason why there has been no consideration. Fortunately, the Department of Energy, and Senator Forrester mentioned the scoping hearings coming up next week, the Department of Energy is in a position to have something to say about that. And hopefully they will, with your support and encouragement, look at a broad variety of alternatives when they do an environmental impact statement. And the hearings next week that Senator Forrester mentioned are principally designed to give the Department of Energy and the federal agencies that are coordinating with the Department of Energy information that they need to make the decisions that they as federal agencies have to make in the case of this project. So I think the single most important decision that DOE will make is which alternatives do we look at? And we would argue, and many of our sister organizations and many people in this room have argued, that look, you should look at that existing HVDC line and see whether there are modifications that could be made. And if they have to split the bacon with their competitor, they have to split the bacon with their competitor. There are at least three or four underground alternatives which DOE should consider looking at. It's clear right now that the proponents of Northern Pass have only one thing in mind, and that's to use existing PSNH rights of way to build this power line above ground. And I've told a lot of people that at the end of the day, if money is the ultimate arbiter of this thing, they're going to win. If people are the ultimate arbiter, we're going to win. And it's really important to make your voice heard in this process. I know I don't have to say that to too many people in this room, but I think it's really important for the people of New Hampshire. If this is going to, if people are going to move the right thing to happen here, people have to show up at these hearings next week. They have to weigh in with comments, not just to the Department of Energy, but to elected officials here in the state. Because the route that they're proposing, I think they can buy it if the people let them buy it. If we let them buy it, shame on us. But we have the power to stop this from happening. Now, there's been a lot of conversation over the last 6 or 8 months about the first 40 miles up here. And I would like to talk very briefly about that. But as Senator Forrester said, there's every bit as much at stake on these southern 140 miles as there is in the far north country. Now, the issues may be a little bit different. What constitutes the correct use or the proper use of an existing right-of-way is a very legitimate issue. It's one that has not gotten a lot of attention, and it's one which the Forest Society and many of our conservation partners intend to make a very big issue in the state's review process and in court if we have to, because the courts have used over the last 30 years a set of standards when these things have been challenged in court, these things being the correct use or the appropriate use of an existing right-of-way. And the courts refer to something called the reasonable use doctrine when they look at what utilities or other owners of utility rights-of-way can do in those rights-of-way. And one would like to think that one of the reasons you have a reasonable use doctrine to refer to is so you'll know when you find an unreasonable use. Now, I have to say that our lawyers have done a lot of research on this and have come to the conclusion that based on the case law history, the utilities are heavily favored in most of these kinds of disputes. But the honest truth is that there's never been a project quite like Northern Pass before. So what the courts will determine in this case, I think, is capable of maybe creating some new judicial interpretations of the law of what's a reasonable use. I can assure you that that issue will get fully addressed before a shovel were to ever hit the ground on this project. The other thing about the use of the rights of way and in the where there's existing rights of way, with a lot of other things, but one other thing is that we, the ratepayers of New Hampshire, built that right of way, acquired that right of way. PS&H may hold the title to it, but we ratepayers paid for it. So any money that comes from the use of that right-of-way should rightly come back to the ratepayers. And we would argue that any use of that right-of-way by anybody other than PS&H should be something that the ratepayers insist gets put out for public bid and gets consideration by the Public Utilities Commission or whatever the right authority is for the highest compensation if there's going to be any reasonable use. So these issues of what constitutes an appropriate use of the rights of way are going to be litigated, they're going to be debated, and I encourage all of you to make your own elected officials aware of the fact that there are issues here that have not yet been discussed appropriately. In light of the most recent proposal, if I could have if you go to the next slide, I'm not going to get into the weeds on this, but if people are interested afterwards, I'm happy to talk in more detail. This is a blow-up of what's happening up in northern New Hampshire. And you may recall that there's now a 2,300-foot section of buried line under Route 3 where the road crosses the Connecticut River up at the Clarksville-Pittsburgh town line, and there's another 8 miles of buried right-of-way along town roads in Stewartstown. Now, there are a bunch of issues that this proposal raises which we think require more attention. For example, when this was announced by Northern Pass made no effort to communicate with the towns that own these roads. They made no effort to contact the landowners who own the land on either side of the road. They never even contacted the Department of Transportation in Concord. Their attitude is, we can do what we want here. And if we allow that logic to prevail, then any utility can blow through any town road in any part of the state. It's that simple, and it's that wrong. So I think the basic issues that this new proposal raises is that, one, landowners, when a town road is built, as in the case of these town roads that are now targeted by Northern Pass for burial, when these roads were originally laid out, what was taken by the town, and it was taken by a process we all are familiar with, it was taken for the sole purpose of transportation. It was an easement. It was not the fee title to the land underneath the road. And so as a consequence, the town owns the right to have the road on the property, but the property still belongs with a private landowner. And that private landowner, among other things, retains the privilege of paying property taxes on that land over which the road goes. So you can imagine that there were a number of landowners up in Stewartstown and Clarksville and Pittsburgh who were quite taken aback when it was proposed that these this new PS&H plan, Northern Pass plan, was going to blow through their property. We were one of those property owners, and if I could have the third slide. On the right-hand side is a blow-up of Pittsburgh-Clarksville town line, which is right here. The green lands are permanently protected conservation lands. The purple are lands that Northern Pass has purchased. I think the last count, they've spent $45 million buying real estate up north that probably has a fair market value of somewhere between $7 and $8 million. On the left-hand side here is a blow-up. We own this land here in Clarksville. This is Pittsburgh. This is the so-called steel bridge over the Connecticut River. They're proposing to bury this line underneath Route 3 here, underneath the river, underneath Route 3 here, down to land they own here. There's one problem. There are a lot of problems with this, but the main problem from our perspective is that we're the landowner here. The town of Clarksville only holds, and the state today only holds, an easement over our property for this road. And for the very same reason that Northern Pass, as a private developer, is not eligible for eminent domain, they should not also be eligible for the taking of a private piece of property like ours in order to put this power line through it. Now, last point I'd make is that if somehow they succeed at getting through the state regulatory review process that cites projects like this, and if for some reason they succeed at getting the state's okay to use our land against our will, I can guarantee you that I'm going to be back to every one of you looking for a contribution to take this to the Supreme Court, because it is simply the wrong thing to do. That is the summary I'd like to give on what's happening on the land. And again, I just point out that attending these hearings, scoping hearings next week, it's a really important thing. And if you can do nothing else in the next 30 days or 3 years, please attend one of these scoping meetings. It's very, very important. And with that, I'll turn it over to Susan Arnold.